Hello, listeners. This is Glenn Willis, Editor-in-Chief for ITO America. Today I'm speaking with Sean Devine, the Vice President for Pricing and Engineering at Conway Freight. Sean has been in this position since 2008 and is responsible for pricing, strategy, management, Lean Six Sigma, and business intelligence for the company. He was previously the Vice President of Engineering and has also previously worked as a consultant with many of the Fortune 500 organizations. On this session today, we're going to be discussing the role of BI at Conway Freight and how it has allowed the company to rise partly above the competition in the market. Sean, thanks for taking the time to speak with us today.
Yeah, thank you, Glenn.
So, Sean, tell me a little bit about the work that you've been doing in the business intelligence space and how that has improved the shipping process there at Conway.
Sure. Well, about 3 years ago in 2007, right after the reorganization of Conway into a single company, we recognized business intelligence as one of the key factors that would help us both improve our strategy as well as the execution of that strategy. So at that time, we decided to make a $10-plus million investment over 3 to 5 years in order to create business intelligence as a core strategic asset for the business. Now, since then, in the 3 years since, we've executed on much of that vision and currently are experiencing those benefits, both in terms of strategy formation as well as strategy execution. On the strategy formation or development side, our strategy management process utilizes our business intelligence tool both to understand what the customer needs, what we can do uniquely, and we use it to track how we're performing against the investments that we make towards that strategy. On the execution side, our business intelligence tool is used for both performance management and continuous improvement efforts across all processes in the business.
And in terms of the procedures, what procedures do you actually follow to ensure data is accurate, accessible, and relevant for some of the end users that are using it?
So we had an enterprise data warehouse strategy that was pretty dogmatic in a couple of ways that relate to this question. So first, our goal was to create a comprehensive system that included all data at the lowest level of granularity for all of our source systems and the collection of externally sourced data sets as well. So by looking at the business as one integrated data model or one system, that helps keep things in context, ensures that when you ask a question about one domain and relate it to another, that they understand each other and that the results come back and make sense. The second pillar, so again, the first pillar was comprehensiveness. Secondly, we decided that it had to be accessible. And what we meant by that is that whether you're a person or a machine or software system, within our network or are physically close or not physically close, on a mobile device or not on a mobile device, that you could get to the data that you need. And we architected the system and chose software and processes that made that the case. So while we have a little bit of work to do yet in terms of accessibility, we're well on the path towards realizing that vision. And the last thing that's really important is high performance. So having a comprehensive, accessible system just doesn't matter all that much if the latency, either on the data loading side or the data retrieval side, is too slow. So we've poured quite a bit of effort and focus and money into the infrastructure to ensure that's the case. Now, in order to ensure that the data is accurate and for all end users, we really have had to focus more on the process side. And the key process there is the data modeling side to make sure that we're representing the business logically and physically in a way that's consistent with reality, as well as the ETL process so that when we move data from the source system or wherever it comes from into the data warehouse, into that model that I just mentioned, that it is done completely and accurately per the business rules that we've defined.
I think it would be fair to say, Sean, over the recent 24, maybe 36 months, that BI has become more of a strategic tool, which necessarily moves it sometimes out of the IT organization into perhaps a CFO's office. We talk about accuracy of data. It's not about just the implementation of a big data warehouse. It's how we use the information, more importantly, and which can affect obviously different arms of the organization, and more importantly, some of the bottom line and the financial performance. In terms of, you know, Conway Freight itself, how has the data allowed executives internally at your group improve the overall financial performance of the company and, you know, what have been quite testing times?
Yeah, sure. Well, to address the first part of your question, which I think is interesting and pretty relevant, our business intelligence ownership, which I have responsibility for, is actually outside of IT. Now, very much for the reasons that you said, and those are that it's a strategic data asset, that it's used not just for systems but for people-related processes, and that we want to make sure that there's alignment between the business strategy and the BI strategy fundamentally. Now, that's not to say that there aren't some IT or some components of the BI stack that are owned by IT, because there are, especially on the infrastructure and software maintenance side, but the entire program is owned by myself, a very clear business executive, and I think that it's helped align us, align business intelligence and our strategy, and helped lead to some of the successes that we've enjoyed. Now, in terms of the second question about using data to allow us to make better decisions, especially those that are financial, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question to answer, because really all of the decisions that we make are related to the financial performance of the company. So as I said at the beginning of the podcast, we split our use of business intelligence into two areas. So the first one was strategy development. And what business intelligence has allowed us to do on that side is get away from decision by conjecture, sit around, you know, the table with a bunch of executives guessing at their version of the world, and instead take that creativity and that experience and use it to create hypotheses that can be tested in part through analysis driven off of the business intelligence tool set. That's been really a fantastic development. It means that some ideas that seemed good end up not being good because the hypotheses are proven untrue once you get to analysis. And it turns out that some ideas that may have seemed a little bit far-fetched end up being outstanding. And accelerating and improving the effectiveness of that vetting process of strategic ideas has been pretty outstanding. I'll give an example. Earlier this year, we were researching some of the nuances of profitability differences between large and small shipments. And in the process of doing that analysis, all in BI, we started to see some interesting things about demand, and that we had less demand than we thought we should in larger shipments, and about price, that the price for some of those larger shipments was above what we thought was reasonable for that level of service. And that insight led, after some number of iterations, to our true LTL pricing strategy that we launched in June of this year. Now, that strategy and that program has a really simple idea at its core, that if you ship a less than LTL shipment or less than truckload shipment with Conway Freight, that you're going to receive less than truckload pricing for that shipment. And making that promise to the customer is what our brand is all about building confidence. So BI led completely to that realization, one that has been sitting right there ready to be made for many, many years, but we couldn't make because we didn't quite have visibility into the data to prove the hypothesis. Now, once we decided to go forward and really reinvent how pricing happens for large shipments in our business, doing the analysis required to implement the specific pricing that realizes that strategy was done largely with the help of our BI stack. And then the monitoring of that program once it went live, obviously, is driven off of BI as well. So the results were outstanding. In our largest growth year ever, from January to December, we saw double the growth in large shipments that we did in small shipments in the program, not only helped boost our brand, but immediately added profit to the company's bottom line. So, you know, BI has been a pretty big deal in general in strategy, and, you know, with that specific example, I think you get an idea as to how.
No, and I appreciate you sharing that with us and our listeners here today, because sometimes we can talk all day about the technology and the implementation and what it's used for, but putting into a real-time scenario was, thank you for sharing that with us. One area I'd like to touch upon as well, Sean, freight companies, logistics companies in general obviously have multiple locations globally. That's their business. Just share with us and our listeners here today, has BI and the initiatives that you've held internally there at Conway, has it helped you run a smooth operational-based business?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I think this is a work in progress, and I think that we're making good progress in it. So to your point, you know, running a multiple location business, whether it's an LTL network like us or a retail location or retail network, et cetera, creates some challenges. And one of the big ones is that you have to coordinate the same processes across many, many locations. And doing that's a people challenge and a systems challenge and creates lots of work. So one of the things that we've used BI for so far is to standardize the way that performance management happens in certain areas across the business. So whether I'm working in North Boston, Massachusetts, or Long Beach, California, I see my scorecard and I see my performance through the same lens that everyone else does. Now, that seems like an obvious thing to do, and I suppose most people with a BI platform would do something similar. But there are some other things that are pretty interesting as well. So one of them is normalization. While we have 290 or so locations, and you can somewhat use standard metrics to measure them, the reality is that each of those locations have their own quirks. I'll give an example. One location may be in a urban setting. So take one of our 10-plus locations in the Chicagoland area. Those locations have a particular set of dynamics to deal with, both in terms of the freight that they're moving and the geography that they're covering. Now, compare those locations to another location in rural Iowa. Now, totally different story there. The freight's different. They're going to be moving lots of agricultural products and other inputs to that process. And the geography is different. Sparsely populated. The weather's a little bit different. The locations that they have to drive to are different. So very, very different contexts for each of those locations. And one of the things that BI is allowing us to do, and increasingly so, is to normalize some of those, or normalize for some of those differences in the context of the location, so that when you compare the locations, it's actually worth something. You know, that you can tell who really is doing a better job, not because of their context, but because of their own controllable performance. So it's a bit of a work in progress, actually. You know, obviously, rolling anything out across that many locations has its challenges, but we're pretty pleased so far with the progress that we've made in both scorecarding and normalized analysis.
And thanks for sharing that with us again. It was a great example of two different, you could even call them markets, in terms of just the locations that you're up against and the diversities in the service offering. Talk to me a little bit about, because a huge part of BI, as I said, we've discussed it, how it has become more strategic in nature over recent times. Much of that is to do with not just what BI has done with the data in the past, but how more it's strategically using it for us to make smarter, more analytical-based decisions based upon performance metrics. And key point of that is certainly within the data analysis and how importantly and how some of the BI tools from the vendors offer out there and how much it kind of deep dives into the analysis of the data. How has the data analysis internally allowed some of your executives to make decisions concerning the future of the company and where you guys are going on the roadmap for this year?
Yeah, sure. So I handle that in a couple of ways, and three different examples. So one of our goals back in the beginning days of our BI journey was to create what we called meeting time BI. And it's an idea that will make sense, I think, for everyone that has a BI stack, and that is that we wanted to be able to ask ad hoc questions during a meeting and get a response back in a timeline that was sensible given the context of the meeting. So, for example, we're sitting in an executive staff meeting. talking about pricing strategy, and we have a question about the behavior of certain types of accounts in the last 2 months. So a reasonable expectation on that is if we had a specific question, if we could get back an answer in a few minutes about what the reality was in the area that we were wondering about, a few minutes is meeting time. That's the sort of time where you can actually continue to have the conversation while you ask the question and then use the results of that query to better inform the back half of the conversation. That was our goal, meeting time BI, to get insight right while you're sitting in a meeting. And largely we've achieved that. Now, it depends on who's driving the ship. So depending on the analyst that's working the system or the executive in our case, because we've got some executives that are pretty capable BI-wise, they can get answers in meeting time because the platform supports it both from a schema or a logical perspective as well as from a performance and accessibility perspective. So that's been a pretty big deal. It's fundamentally, I think, changed the way the conversations go, whereas before the conversation really ended at the conjecture, at the guessing about what's true. Now people are a little bit more careful in their hypotheses because we know that, hey, it's not that many minutes before you can prove or disprove many hypotheses. Now, some are too complex, obviously, to cover in a meeting. But for those that aren't, we can ask the question pretty quickly. And even if you can in the meeting, it's not that hard to do so inside of a day or two. So that's one big way that things have changed. The second is we have standardized on Lean Six Sigma as our continuous improvement methodology for the business. And I'm sure many people are familiar with Lean Six Sigma, and our implementation is relatively standard compared to what you've seen from other companies, except we're a service business, and not many or far fewer service businesses have adopted Lean Six Sigma in as aggressive of a way as we have. And certainly not across all functional areas of the business like we have. So we use Lean Six Sigma just as much in operations as we do in pricing or sales or marketing or administration. And one of the reasons that we can do that is the quality of our data. So Lean Six Sigma has at its core the DMAIC process, which means define, measure, analyze, improve, control. And in all five of those phases of the Lean Six Sigma problem-solving process, you need business intelligence. First, to define the problem. Second, to understand what the current state is. Third, to understand the relationships between what you do and what you get. Fourth, to help put in place or discover improvements. And lastly, to control whatever improvements you ultimately put in place. And business intelligence has a role in each of those five steps. And the fact that that capability is there has allowed us to go from zero continuous improvement resources 3 years ago that were fully dedicated to 28 full-time continuous improvement resources today, plus all of the green belts and other supporting resources that help them part-time. So that's been a huge deal. You know, right now, if we want to improve the business, we know how. We point resources at it. They use their processes and they use the tools that are available to them to make the improvements. Huge, huge deal. And then the last thing that I'd mention is operations research. So there are some things that are too complicated for a person that's been, you know, lightly trained in Lean Six Sigma and related skills to solve because the relationships are too complicated or the data is too large or the solving time requirements are too low. And when those situations happen, we need operations research, a combination of statistics and data mining and optimization and simulation in order to achieve the improvements that we desire. And we've invested in that as a capability, and one of the reasons that we can invest in that finally as a formal capability of the company is because we have the data to support large-scale decision-making. So whether it's strategy in a meeting or strategy formally in our strategy management process or process improvement work from Lean Six Sigma or fundamental step change improvement through the application of operations research to the business, I mean, BI has really gone everywhere and is a fundamental part of how we do things now.
Finally, Sean, I'd like to discuss something from the social networking aspect. There is social collaboration tools that we've seen in the consumer space for the last 24, 36 months, and the consumerization of IT, I think we're going to see an ever-growing presence moving towards the enterprise sector. I've seen a recent article discussing uniting social networking tools and BI as a way to more quickly and seamlessly share information. From your perspective, what new technologies do you believe will influence BI initiatives going forward this year?
Yeah, it's a good question. On the social networking side, this is an area we're really thinking about, I think just starting to think about right now. And I'll give an example that's sort of company-specific, but most big companies deal with this. So customer relationship management notes, so if you have Salesforce.com or some other CRM tool, the notes in there are kind of like tweets. You know, they're kind of short, pithy comments about the situation with a customer. And we found that data is relatively valuable. You can catch trends in terms of what's hot and what's not and what's changing by looking at the comments that are made by salespeople about the sales calls that they make. Now, we've somewhat tripped across that in the last year and haven't exploited it quite as much as we could. But we're interested in how to use unstructured data, free-form data like that, and merge it with the rest of our structured data assets inside of that exist in the data warehouse in order to gain new insight. So, for example, you know, we may find that our most profitable customers are talking about a particular competitor more than the other ones are, or perhaps they care more about on-time service or damage or what have you more than others do. And we catch that by looking at, you know, trending topics, so to speak, to use Twitter's vernacular. So that's pretty interesting, and pretty interesting stuff. And we've done a little bit of work there, but not nearly as much as we could, in part because of the topic you bring up, which is we haven't quite invested in the processes or tools that we fully need to take advantage of that, although we're getting there. We're also, so aside from, call it streaming unstructured content, you know, we're also interested in the linkage between parties. So one thing that's interesting about our business is that our customers all relate to each other. Every shipment has an origin and destination, and typically the origin and destination are one or more of our customers. Sometimes you're receiving something someone else sent, sometimes you're sending it, sometimes you're paying the bills, sometimes they are, etc. And understanding the network, the relationships that exist between all the parties we deal with, has baked in it a lot of insight, a lot that we can learn about how decisions are made, how our customer base functions, and where the opportunities are in terms of communities of interest that we can help foster, or other opportunities to either create efficiency or more effectively sell. So we're pretty interested in that area. I think that we largely have many of the technologies that are necessary, and for us it's about stitching that together with good, you know, enterprise architecture so that we have a standard way to deal with these new types of data and newly discovered relationships between our entities, our data entities.
Well, Sean, thanks very much for your time today. I think you've shared some great insight on how you've been using business intelligence at Conway Freight to create a more competitive advantage in what is a very competitive space and vertical segment. So for that, I commend you and hope you continue the good work. Ladies and gentlemen, I was just speaking to Sean Devine, the Vice President at Conway Freight. Thanks for taking the time today, Sean, and I'll thank you on behalf of our listeners as well.
Thank you, Glenn, very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this interview is part of ITO America's Thought Leadership Series, an ongoing project that features one-on-one interviews with innovative thought leaders from top companies here in North America. To download today's podcast and any future podcasts, please go to the website at www.itoamerica.com. Thanks very much for joining us.